We're going to study God's eternal purpose and His unpreventable progress right now. We're going to start out in the first verse of the Bible. And we're going to look at this. Then we're going to go to the book of Romans and the book of Ephesians. We're talking about God's eternal purpose and His unpreventable progress. God has always existed. In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, Barashith, bara, Elohim, et Hashemayim, we et ha'aretz. We ha'aretz, hathiyah, tobu, vavobu, vehoshakel, p'nei hamayim. We ru'al, Elohim, merakachet, el m'nei hamayim. In one of the beginnings, not in the beginning, but in one of the beginnings, it says He had created God, the heavens, and that means the cosmos, the whole everything. Hashemayim means the uplifted water. And it means everything above the earth. Now, He hadn't created the earth yet. He created everything around the earth. Everything from the earth, where the earth was going to be, into the infinity of space. And then it says, He had created the heavens, and then it says, we ha'aretz, and the earth. And then it says, in the earth she had become formless and void, and darkness over the faces of the deep, to whom. And then it says, Spirit God, Ruah Elohim Merakachet. Now, in the Bible talks about the Shekinah presence glory of God. The Shekinah presence glory of God. The Shekinah presence glory of God is in the feminine gender. And in the word Merakachet, in Genesis 1 and 2, it's in the feminine gender. It's feminine singular participle. And that word just means to worry over. Parents worry over their children many times. And I tell you what, because of good reason. They worry over their children for good reason. You bring a child into the world, and you're responsible to try to raise that child the best you can, to feed it and take care of it, and to educate it to what is going to happen to it in the world. That's your responsibility to do that. God, in one of the beginnings, now in one of the beginnings is the eternity past back here. I've been standing in front of this chart for 40 to 50 years nearly and teaching from it. And the reason why I do that is to get you to where you'll know what we're talking about, what period of time in the history of the world. In eternity past, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens, the expanse of the heavens, all the stars. If you walked out last night, you look up, if you've got clear skies and you can see Milky Way, millions of stars. I don't know whether they've counted all of them. They keep finding more and more and more. And God created every one of those. He created suns, the stars. He created moons, satellites, the asteroids that are flying around out there, shooting stars. He created all of that. All the dust. They say that every day that the earth gains at least 1 ton of new matter falling to the earth. 1 ton of new matter. All of that matter God created at one time in eternity past. Not in time, but eternity past. Many people believe now that the earth was created 6,000 years ago. The earth was not created 6,000 years ago. The earth was created in eternity past. They need to read their Hebrew Bible. In one of the beginnings, back there, Barashith, Barad's a preposition, page 88 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and then Rosh is head, which means beginning, page 912 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and if you look up in Gesenius Hebrew grammar, you'll see that the tau at the end of that is plural, an old Hebrew plural. In one of the beginnings, or in one beginnings, God had created the heavens and the earth she had become formless and void, and God suffered over, mourned over the faces of the deep and the faces of the water. And then the God began to put it back together. Now, God has revealed himself to all people. Everybody. There isn't any lost tribe anywhere that God has not revealed himself to. And what kind of a revelation do we see in that, Marilyn? You remember?
Creation.
In creation.
The creation.
Everything. A watch has a maker. A hammer has a maker. I have hammers. Some of them are made by Proto. Some of them are made by Snap-on. Some of them are made by Mac. A hammer is a hammer. But a hammer has a special purpose. Vaughn. All of these different makers of these hammers. All of the different makers. Estwing. They have a maker. They were made someplace. Timex watches. Take a licking and keep on ticking is what they used to say. But they had a place where they made those watches. There was an origin of those watches. Now the heavens and the earth have an origin. The Lakota people, the Siouxian nation, now there was the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota, three tribes. They spoke a different dialect of those language. But they talked about God. Wakon Tonka, God. But that wasn't all. Now the Bible reveals himself, the God of the Bible reveals himself to creation, doesn't he? So all the creation out there should point us to God. Should it not? What else? What other way does God administer the revelation of himself to you? What other way? Every man, every woman, every child in the history of the world has an intuition in them that calls them to God. You have to turn that intuition off to believe that there is no God. You have to turn it off because it's there in every person. What other way has God revealed himself to us? Through the prophets of old? He did, didn't he not?
Yeah.
Adam, God revealed himself to Adam. In Genesis 1 and 26, it said, God said, let us make Adam, Adam, or man, what? In his shadow casting likeness, his spiritual likeness. And then in his blood flowing likeness, and there's the word for blood in Hebrew is dam. Adam, that is red and it means blood. It said, let us make man in our spiritual likeness, in our physical likeness as the Son of God, and our sovereign likeness as the Father. In Lakota, the Father is Wakon Tonka. The Son is Tonka Shila. And the Spirit is Skon Taku Skon Skon. They got it right. But they did not have a perfect revelation. The Word of God is the perfect revelation that we have. It's perfect. Everything that we need to know about the universe and man and politics and economics is all in this book. It's all here. In Genesis, it tells us in one of the beginnings that God had created the heavens and the earth. Something happened to the earth and the heavens. In eternity past, what else did God create?
Angels.
Angels and spirits. Now, I want to tell you something. What I speak of, when I tell you the earth is more than 6,000 years old, is absolutely what we call solid evidence. Now, I don't believe in that the atomic testing that they do is exactly correct. Right up here, about 22 miles from here or so, there is a grove of trees up there that are called Brissicum pines. And those Brissicum pine trees They have solid evidence that they go back and they were alive 7,000 years before Christ. Now, 7,000 years before Christ is what? That's an eternity past. So in eternity past, those trees were created up there. Over here at that end of the valley, we have a petrified forest. And I don't know how many thousands of years old those are. Some of the largest redwood trees in the world were here. Giant sequoias were here. They're petrified. Thousands of years ago, before man was ever created. Those bristlecone pines rewrote history. They found the exact year that Mount Vesuvius erupted by looking at the rings on those trees. They saw when Noah's flood happened on those trees. They saw the ice age that Mount Vesuvius brought on the world. They recorded the period of time when the American Indian was burning off the Great Plains and caused Europe to go into a mini ice age. The Great Plains didn't happen. The Great Plains were created. And every time we do something fantastic in the world, or something happens fantastic in the world, weather changes. And those weather patterns are all recorded right up there. For more than 10,000 years back into eternity past. All the weather patterns are recorded on those trees. They thought that Mount Vesuvius erupted in a certain year, but history was corrected by those trees up there. Now, let's go to Romans, the first chapter, and say, well, this preacher is just saying words. Is it in the Bible? Well, God specifically revealed himself through his creation. He specifically revealed himself to intuition and mankind, calling the heart and the spirit of man. And he has revealed himself through prophets. And he has revealed himself finally through his word, which is the most solid foundation. I, as an individual, believe that God's word is inspired, number, gender, case, and tense. And every participle, every conjunction, every adverb and pronoun is there for a reason. In John 1:1, it says, NRK, ain ho logos, kai ho logos, ain proston theon, kai ho logos, ain theos. In beginning. Now, the word in beginning there, in RK, that means there's nothing else beyond that. Out here someplace in eternity past, there was only God. That's it. And that's the oldest verse in the Bible, is that John 1:1. In RK, in beginning, ain, third person singular, imperfect indicative active verb, he kept on being Jehovah. God kept on being. He kept on being. NRK ain't ho logos. In beginning kept on being, and the word logos there is a Greek Hebraism. It doesn't mean word, it means what? In Genesis 20 and verse 7, the Bible says that thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. If you use it, you shall be required. It shall be required of you. So Israel would never, no Jew would ever name the name of God again. They'd say, Hadavar, Hadavar, the word. Or Hashem, the name. And when John wrote John 1:1, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and John, 3rd John, and finally the book of Revelation, anytime he talks about the word there, most generally he's talking about Jehovah. Now let's look at that. The word. In beginning kept on being the word. And the Word kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Because the Word kept on being God, or God kept on being the Word. Now let's make it like it should be translated. In beginning kept on being Jehovah. The word Jehovah comes from the Hebrew word Hayah, page 214 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Hayah means to become. Now, if we use the word Jehovah, which we don't know how to say at all, period, that's a misnomer, but we know what word we're talking about, Hadavar, or Hologos. It's that word. That word is the personal name of God. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah, the one who shall become. And the one who shall become kept on being toward God. He never ceased being God. Jesus, when he was born into this world, was God in flesh. He never ceased being God, but now he became man, and he became our Goel, our kinsman redeemer. God redeemed the world to himself through the merits of, and the person of, and the relation of himself to us through Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says what, Marilyn? Kai hologo sarx agenito, and the Jehovah fleshy became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and full of truth. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out from eternity into space and time over here. Why? Why did he do this? Because God had an eternal purpose and he had a plan. In all of the... Here we have the Egyptian bondage. Here's Abraham over here. Here we have the Egyptian bondage. We have Moses, Moshe, called out. And the word Moshe means what? To rescue or to call out. Israel was called out of Egypt by Moshe, Moses. Moses was a type of Christ. Joseph was a type of Christ. Abraham was a type of God the Father in that he offered his only begotten Son because he believed. God only begot, offered his only begotten Son so we could have eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, all of it, the Barashi, the whole in the beginnings, the Ha'aretz and the Hashemayim, the earth and the heavens and all, and God will redeem all of it back to himself someday. In Romans, the first chapter, Paul the Apostle, writing to the churches of Rome, says, this for my part I am eager to preach the gospel. You know that God said that he preached the gospel to Abraham way back over here? And that in Genesis, the 9th chapter, way back over yonder, God said that Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem, that Japheth would take the banner of God and take it throughout the world, and that's Gentiles. That's everybody but a Jew. We know that God in the garden walked with Adam. God displayed himself in perfection before Adam and Isha. Man and woman. Woman means out of man. He revealed himself to them. He revealed himself to them in righteousness and in love and in care. And they forsook him. It says the man and woman loved each other, walked with each other, and they were naked, and yet they were not ashamed. But were they naked?
They were glorified.
They were walking clothed in the glory of God because they were innocent and they were clothed. Mm-hmm. They were not naked as we think of naked. They were clothed with the glory of God. Yeah. When Jesus rose from the dead, how was he clothed? What happened to his grave clothes?
They dropped off.
They dropped off. I mean, they just fell flat in the grave. When he rose in his resurrected body, those clothes fell to him and were just folded and there. Did Jesus have to open the door of that cave to get out?
No.
He walked through the door. He walked through that door. His body lined up with all the elements of the earth, and he walked through that door. He walked with the same glory that Adam and Eve were clothed in the original creation of God. And boy, did they find something out. They became naked, it says, when they took and ate. And how much of the tree did they eat, Marilyn?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. They ate it all of the tree of knowledge and good. They ate the whole thing. They kept on eating it until it was all gone. They ate it all. And they, first of all, what did they know? They know that they became informed of the what? The knowledge of what?
Evil.
Good first.
Oh, good, okay.
They knew how good God was and how good they were. Mm-hmm. And how perfect they were. And then they became to understand the knowledge of evil. Mm-hmm. Evil, twisted, cheating, lying, stealing. All of this. They became thieves, they became liars, they became murderers. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not kill. But is that what it says? No, it says, thou shalt not keep on killing. Thou shalt not keep on lying. Thou shalt not keep on stealing. Because they were thieves, they were liars, they were murderers. Jesus told all of those Pharisees and Sadducees and high priests and Levites, he said, you're evil. The intent of your heart is evil from the very beginning. They were off on the wrong trail. They were on the wrong trail. You'll never find the goal on the wrong trail. All trails don't lead to the same point. He said, you boys are off on the wrong trail. And then he started telling them how that they could not keep the law because they were evil from the very beginning. What did they need? They needed a new heart. In John, the third chapter, Jesus was talking to a high rabbi by the name of Crowdbuster, Nicodemus, people conqueror. And he told him, you haven't got it, boy. You know all those guys that you baptized and you told them they needed to be born again? All those Gentiles? You're just like that. You need to be born again. You need to have a new life. You need to start over again. In Romans, the first chapter, thus for my part I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. What does the word gospel, euangelion, mean? Good news. I'm going to tell you something. When Adam and Eve found out they were so wicked that they had become wicked and they had begun to stand in the state of dying, there was no good news there. But Genesis 3:15, God told them, as they were listening to God talking to the Nahash, the serpent, he said, your seed shall be in constant conflict with her seed. Satan's seed would be in constant conflict with her seed. And your seed, your seed shall deal him a crippling blow, the cross of Calvary. But he shall deal you a death-dealing blow. It's talking about Jesus Christ there. It's talking about the first promise of the Messiah in the Bible. God revealed himself in perfect righteousness to Adam. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live, or the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, and suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and that's the Pharisees right there. That's all Nimrod and the Tower of Babel way over yonder. Here it was, right here. When God divided the earth and confused all the languages. Here we have monstrosities on the earth. And we have the genetic pool of God totally polluted. And God sent the flood. And there's evidence of all of these things up here in these trees right on this mountain. It's hard evidence. Because that which is known about God is evident. The creation. That which is known about God is evident, easily seen. With them, for God made it evident to them. Outside, we have the revelation of God in His creation. Inside, we have the revelation of God through a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. Those people that are perverted are sociopaths. They have no conscience. They've had to sear their conscience. It says they branded their conscience until they had no feeling in it. Jimmy, you smashed your finger. Did you not? Now you don't have any feeling in the end of that finger. That's what happens when you burn yourself and burn yourself and burn yourself. You don't have any feelings. When you destroy those nerves, you don't have any feelings. And when people don't want to believe in God, they have to put Him over there yonder and say to themselves, no God, no God, no God, no God, because He has revealed Himself to them through creation and through intuition already. And now by special revelation, He revealed Himself through Moses, through Abraham, through Adam, through Noah. Why, God told Noah, build a boat, build an ark, build a big box. Because in 120 years, I'm going to send wrath. And the flood's going to come. Now, people always scoff at the word of God. How many people had been preaching before Noah that the flood was coming? Enoch was. Enoch lived off 300 years. Mm-hmm. Enoch had a boy and he named him, when he's dead, he shall come to pass Methuselah. For 969 years, that old boy lived. Oldest man. The tree, the oldest tree they found up there before they found another old one, older one, was Methuselah tree. It's a whole lot more old, a lot more than 969 years old. That tree was 6,000 years old. Now you can go in Fish Lake Valley. You go right up there above Crooked Creek. I took Gary up to Crooked Creek up there on his honeymoon. We went up to that ice cave, is what I call it. It's a cave that has 6,000 years of occupation. Human beings were there for 6,000 years. I took him over here at that end of the valley, and we went up to Cave Springs, and I've taken you up there too, Marilyn. And there's 6,000 years of occupation there. Mankind has been on this earth at least 6,000 years. And that is in space and time. We're not talking about eternity past. Those trees lived in eternity past. Those trees down there lived in eternity past. Those rocks were created in eternity past. Those bristlecone pines were created in eternity past, and I think they were created to be a written epitaph of everything that God did from eternity past till now. That's a real good written record. That's solid evidence. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. Conscience. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation, all the way back in here in eternity past, of the world, His invisible attributes, we can tell what God did in eternity past by what He made. He made angels, didn't He? Now we know that 2/3 of the angels are still with God, 1/3 is against Him. Because He made angels with sovereign volition. They could either follow Him or not. We know that 1/3 of the angels did not follow God, and their leader was Hillel, the glorious one, the light bearer, which became Lucifer. Well, Lucifer is Latin for, it comes from Lucere in Latin, which means light carrier. And then he became Diabolos, and he became Satan, the opposing one, the destroyer, Diabolos. His invisible attributes are known in the way that He takes care of the earth, the oceans, the planets. He keeps them in order, cosmos, bodhisattva. He keeps them in order. The stars are where they're supposed to be. The moons are where they're supposed to be. And they go in a planetary highway, so to speak. They stay in their highway. When a planet, so-called, gets out of order, it becomes a what? An asteroid. And it goes and causes destruction. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as a lightning bolt. Well, some of the things that were created in eternity past are still with us today. Some of the life forms, biological life forms, are still here. They were created in eternity past. Old life forms. And some of those trees and plants in eternity past, they're still here. We have evidence of them, hard evidence, in coal and fossil fuel. And the Briscoe pines. And the petrified forests. His invisible power, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that we have no excuse for not believing in God. There's no excuse for an agnostic. No excuse for an atheist. They got there that way because they wanted to be. Why, angels didn't have to follow God. God can only get glory from you if you follow him by choice. Volition. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile. Arum in Hebrew. Wicked. Twisted. Perverted. In their speculations and their foolish heart, it was darkened. And their foolish heart, when you reject God, then your foolish heart becomes darkened. Because you did this, you get this. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. Nimrod and his mother. And they built that great tower in one world religion, didn't they? In the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. We see that all over the world. We see mankind going away from God. And much of the Egyptian culture, African culture, we see what? We see what we call ancestor worship. We see men worshiping other men. We see men worshiping things. That's this right here. And in the Americas, when God divided the earth, the American Indian was already here. We didn't get over here by the Bering Straits. The boys are wrong. The Bible is right. Right here. The Bible said that God confused all the languages and then he divided the earth in the days of Peleg. He divided the earth. Now, some geologists believe that Atlantis was the American continents. That as the earth divided like this, and by the way, Nimrod built that great tower. The tower was built out of bricks and stones and things. When the earthquake's going on, brick houses fall down, don't they? Houses fall down. Now they've got buildings sitting on skates underneath so they can move. This building here has 8 earthquake-resistant stakes underneath it, so to speak, and 80 stands. We try to get around earthquakes, but here we have man building a one-world religion and this great tower where they worshipped Nimrod and his mother. And God shook that tower with earthquakes because he divided their languages, confused their languages. And by the way, the Hamitic languages are more confused than the Japhethites. And the Shemite is one language, even though it became Yiddish and whatever. We see the languages confused as the people went where they could understand each other, simple as that. Then God divided the earth. And the North and South American and Mesoamerican continents came off, if you look, in a globe. you can see where they came from. That's how we got here, over here in this country. The most populated place in the world were the Americas. There were more than 100 million people here. Europe, they were killing each other off in wars, and princes and paupers were all over, tearing down all the trees and everything else over there, burning up things. The forests, they said at one time, squirrels would jump from one tree to the other, from the British Isles all the way to the Middle East. They used all that furniture up, building wars and burning people. They used it up. The Black Forest is one area that is left over there in Germany. The Alps in some places. We see that. Wars and wars and wars. And over here in America, what happened over here? In all the way up into the poles, all the way down into North America, Mesoamerica, and South America. What happened? In Meso and South America, it was a whole lot like what was taking place over there in Egypt. They built pyramids. You know where the oldest mummies in the world are? It's not in Egypt. South America and Mesoamerica. They were building pyramids in great cities. The cities were gigantic. Gigantic cities. When the first white man came to the Americas. Now I'm talking about in modern times from 1400s on. People had been here. China had been here many years before that. American Indian is Asian in origin. Genghis Khan. I have Genghis Khan blood running in my veins. We are Asian. We have those somewhat slanted eyes like the Asian people do. We got here by the division of the earth. But what happened here? Some of the cultures were more closer to God, like the Lakota and the Eastern Indian culture. The Great Plains were created. There were great cultures here, great cities. Why did they call the five civilized tribes the five civilized tribes?
Because they knew democracy.
They were agriculturists.
Yeah.
They grew great farms and plantations. In Meso and South America, the food that feeds the world today was not originated in Europe and the Middle East. It was originated here in the Americas. Potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, corn is all genetically engineered food. But what happened to these people? What kind of culture did they have? The Meso and South American people were a whole lot like the Egyptians, and that was where they worshipped a man. There were postal roads from all the way from South America all the way up into southern North America. They had more medicine here than any place in the world. The best medicine. The best food. People were living to be 120 years old or more here. This continent, because they didn't have the diseases. What caused the diseases in Europe? God told man to do what? Right back over here, what did he tell him to do? Scatter and multiply. What did they do in Europe? Big cities, big city. In big cities, you have contamination. You have biological problems. You have disease. And we had tremendous disease in Europe. Because they didn't follow the promises and the direction of God. In America, oh, they had some big cities. But it was more an agricultural thing. They had food. People had enough food to eat. They drove the American bison all the way from Mexico all the way back to New York. They created great orchards and foods. When the first white man came to the East Coast, they looked over and they saw great cities. All those lights, all those cities out there. And they saw great orchards and they saw great fields. And they went all the way in to Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia, all through there, Tennessee, North and South Carolina, and they saw all of this great agricultural areas, great farms and orchards. Later on, a couple of hundred years later, they were going to teach the Indians how to grow, make crops. What a joke. What a joke. Down in South America, they were worshiping men. They were so superstitious because of what it says here in Romans, the first chapter. And in North America, we have democracy. We have democracy. All the way from the East Coast to the West Coast, we have democracies. While the Greek culture, Greece gave the Western world, or the European world, democracy. The American Indians and their democracy gave the whole democracy to the whole world. And they gave food to the whole world. But remember, God created it all. Why did he bless these people more over here than he did over there? Because over there, they were devastating each other. Devastating each other. Living like God told them not to do. God has an eternal purpose. Professing themselves to become wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for the incorruptible, and God for the image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Why, the 10 plagues of Egypt. Way over here. God challenged every one of the Egyptian gods to a contest. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their own impurity, and the bodies of them dishonored among them. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. In Ephesians, the first chapter, it tells us about the mind of God. The book of Ephesians is a very beautiful book. Galatians says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that He might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Father, Father." In the book of the Ephesians, in the first chapter, is very beautiful. Paul, an apostle, Jesus Christ, by the will of God. That will of God is thelematos, that spiritual activated force of God to the saints who are at Ephesus. And the word at Ephesus there, that's a circular letter, universal letter. It wasn't at Ephesus, but all the churches, even to us today. Who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heaven places in Christ Jesus. Just as He picked us out before the foundation of the world. In eternity past, God chose a way. It's God's eternal purpose that He would send forth His Son to redeem us. And that we look to Him, not to animals, not to birds, not to men to save us. He predestined us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. We follow God not because we're afraid of Him, but because we love Him. He predestined us, marked us off beforehand, adopted us then through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the kind attention of His spiritual activating force, His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us, lavished on us in the Beloved One. In Him we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of all His grace, in which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. We have a God that revealed Himself to us. If there is a God, He will reveal Himself to mankind, His creation, and He did. He has made known to us the mystery of His will, the secrets of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Himself. For the fullness of times, with a view for the purpose of the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summation of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things upon the earth in Him, Also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his eternal purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. God's eternal purpose and his unpreventable progress. If you're out there someplace in the world and you don't know God, you have no excuse. God has revealed himself through his creation to, through your heart to you, and through his word to you. You'll have no excuse. And all you have to do is say, Lord, forgive me because I am a sinner, and save my soul. And he will. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out for you, for your honor, for your glory. Father, I pray that you use it to touch people's hearts, to lead them to you and to guide them in following you. I pray for all of my students all over the world. Father, touch each and every one of their hearts. Give them courage to walk each and every day. Help us to face the problems we have. Help us to face life and help us to face death. In Jesus' name, we